You already know what to do. Deep down, you know, because your intuition is speaking to you all the time. So what's stopping you from acting on that inner guidance? It's one of two things. Either you're not skilled at listening to the voice of your intuition, or you're absolutely terrified of what you're hearing, so you subconsciously block your gut feelings. So the real question for most of us is not, what's my intuition telling me to do? Rather, the question is, how can I get out of my own way so that the difference between fear and intuition becomes obvious? I'm Nina Hielenda, Franciscan sister, spiritual director, and founder of Dancing Spirit Tours. It wasn't that long ago that I lacked the self-awareness and inner freedom to focus on growing my relationship with God. Fast forward past a lot of suffering and lessons learned, I now have a spirituality that gives me more joy, meaning, and connection than I ever thought possible. I created the Holy Rebels podcast to help you forge a direct personal bond with God that will empower you to become the most effective and loving version of yourself. When you expand your understanding of ultimate reality, you are walking the path of saints and mystics. Living a mystical life, you'll find yourself transforming in a myriad of positive and grounded ways that are so comprehensive and amazing, they're almost unbelievable. If you thirst for truth, purpose, and joy, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. There's so much advice out there about how to follow your intuition. But I find that most of it is helpful only to a certain extent. There's a tipping point where we've figured out what to do, but instead of following through and taking action, we decide it's too difficult or risky, and we run the other way. Sound familiar? In this episode of Holy Rebels, we're going to take an unconventional approach to the subject of following your intuition. I'm not going to tell you about how to overcome your fears by eliminating negative thoughts. You already know the basics. You already know that mindfulness strategies can help you sharpen your intuition and boost your energy level so that you can take a leap and do whatever it is your gut feeling is telling you to do. This conversation is more about the anatomy of intuition and what to do when it feels too overwhelming or just too risky to go in the direction that your inner compass is pointing you. If following your intuition were simple, we'd all be as skilled as responding to our intuitive inclinations as we are to reacting to our five senses. When we feel cold, we put on a jacket. When we're thirsty, we drink water. When it's dark, we turn on a light. Wouldn't it be nice if following your intuition were as natural as that? Unfortunately, it's a difficult process because our intuition offers us suggestions based on our values. But most of us don't understand our values to their full extent. So we find ourselves acting in ways opposite and investing our time in projects, people, and goals that we don't believe in. How do you trust your gut when the prospect of following your dreams means giving up the very security that you depend on? How can you hear your intuition clearly when anxious thoughts are raging like someone just kicked a beehive in your head? How do you gather the courage when following your intuition has massive consequences in your life, like leaving a marriage or starting a business? Following your intuition is not a momentary decision-making strategy. No, it's a lifestyle. If you want to live a spiritually enriching and purposeful life, you need a robust internal system to digest and apply your intuitive guidance. I know that you want to live an inspired and fulfilling life, where you feel excited to wake up in the morning and seize new opportunities that come your way with the changing circumstances of life. If you want that, you need to become a congruent human being. Being a congruent human being means that your sense of self-esteem is rooted in personal integrity. You don't need to prove your self-worth. Your intuitive guidance works in harmony with, and not in opposition to, your intellectual and emotional resources. You are someone highly attuned and respectful of the energetic feedback that is constantly being channeled through your biological channels. You seek truth rather than fear it. You live the truth of who you are. This is what it means to follow your intuition and to be a congruent human being. Intuition is part of a powerful inner compass for navigating life. And yes, your inner knowing can guide you to do the right thing, to find creative solutions, to make wise choices. But it's also the foundation of living a spiritual life, because it not only helps you in your external circumstances, but it also contributes to your overall well-being and trust in yourself. When you trust your gut and you use that intuition to inform your choices, you become a more authentic version of who you are. Your intuition teaches you about who you were born to be, and that's because it's a direct line to the divine. Intuition can help you connect with yourself on a deep level so that you understand what makes you truly happy and fulfilled. In some ways, your intuition knows you better than you know you. It's like an inner parenting device connected to the divine. I recently presented a webinar called the Camino Experience Live Class, where I spoke about the essential nature of intuition for living an inspired and purposeful life. Our upcoming trip in Spain is all about this subject, and it's a unique journey because it combines a traditional walking pilgrimage with the 500-year-old mystical teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, which is all about actionable strategies for how to listen to your inner voice and cut through the fear that prevents you from living the life you desire. That's what we're doing on our Camino. And if you're interested in joining us, we do have some spots left in 2023, but we're also booking well into 2024 already. So if you're interested, pause this podcast and send me a message. I can give you a free trip guide. The reason I bring this up is because it wasn't until I studied the mystical teachings of St. Ignatius and practiced the lessons that he teaches in his masterwork, The Spiritual Exercises, that I feel like I cracked the code of intuition and became skillful at integrating inner guidance into my whole life, rather than just tapping into my intuition when I'm in crisis or only when I need it. And I want to speak more about how to integrate your intuition in your whole life. But first, I'd like to share a little more about Ignatius himself, because his life is so inspiring. Ignatius of Loyola was born in the gorgeous Basque region in Spain in 1491. Very interested in social climbing and riding and dueling, romancing women. And one day he's called to fight a battle in the city of Pamplona. It did not go well for him. He arrives to discover that they are greatly outnumbered. But as a matter of honor, Ignatius refuses to give up. He's fighting from inside the fortress when a stream of cannonballs comes crashing through the citadel. One cannon hits Ignatius in the leg, totally shattering his femur. Ignatius is buried under rocks and knocked out. When the battle clears, his opponents are rummaging through the debris and they find Ignatius alive. They take pity on him, and you know what they do? They carry Ignatius 100 kilometers, 60 miles, back to Loyola on a stretcher. The journey takes weeks, and his wounds become infected. Finally, arriving home at Loyola, the doctors are waiting, and immediately they conduct surgery. It's a horrible surgery, and all without painkillers back then. The doctors have to re-break Ignatius's leg and put it back together to get the proper alignment so that one leg isn't shorter than the other. While he's recovering from this dark time in his life, Ignatius gets pretty bored. He can't do anything but lay in bed. But his sister brings him a book, and it's the only book in the house, about the lives of the mystics. Ignatius reads about these inspiring people like Francis of Assisi and Mary Magdalene and Hildegard of Bingen. And he begins to reflect on his own life, daydreaming about doing what the saints did, living a life of spiritual service. When he imagines this new, truly heroic life, Ignatius's heart flowers open, and he feels this pure kind of joy that he felt when he was a child. When his leg heals, Ignatius sets out on a pilgrimage that will change his life forever. He dresses himself as a beggar and leaves his family's stately home. He crosses mountains and forests, deserts, orchards, vineyards, and dozens of villages. He is walking the exact route that we'll be walking on our Camino journey. And as Ignatius walks through these breathtaking landscapes, he comes to appreciate stillness, solitude, reflection. His original intention was to go all the way to Jerusalem, but his plans change when he arrives at Montserrat, where we'll be going too. Montserrat is affectionately nicknamed the Monastery Above the Clouds. It's known as a mystical mountain, home to a Black Madonna statue, which by the time of Ignatius's visit had already been a revered pilgrimage site for centuries. Montserrat is still an active monastery today, and you can imagine Ignatius climbing up the stairway, adorned with these intricate mosaics depicting these famous female saints. And then you find yourself at the top of the stairs, in a silver-plated room where the Black Madonna sits regally upon her throne. This is exactly what you can experience when you go there today. And it's exactly what Ignatius saw. and he was so moved by the Black Madonna that he spent a night in the sanctuary in prayer. And at dawn, he offers his sword to the Divine Feminine, and he devotes the rest of his life to serving God. His visit to Montserrat changes him. Ignatius retreats to a cave beside a river near Manresa, and he lives there for 10 months, spending hours every day in solitary prayer and having these ecstatic mystical visions. Today, there's an ornate Baroque church that's built around this cave. And when you sit here in silent prayer, you can almost feel the heartbeat of the earth because you're surrounded by layers and layers of rocks. And this is where Ignatius writes what he calls the spiritual exercises, which is a series of practices and meditations that track the interior movements of your soul and guide your intuition. One of the key things that I've learned from studying the spiritual exercises over the years and spending time in this cave in Manresa is that we are much better at hearing our intuition than we give ourselves credit for. The problem isn't that we don't know what our intuition is saying. The problem is that we neglect to respond. Because we think it's optional, but it's not. Your intuition is part of who you are. And when you ignore your inner guidance and rely instead exclusively on external sources, you're neglecting a part of yourself. We're all born with intuition, but the problem is you may not know how to read it and translate it into action. Because intuition gives you a sense of the outcome, but it doesn't provide you with a blueprint for how to create change or implement strategies. And that is precisely why it's hard to trust intuitive guidance. It's because it's raw, it's unprocessed, it's just a gut knowing. But you do have another innate tool, a more precise one, to help you follow your intuition. Do you know what it is? It's discernment. Intuition is like the raw gut feeling. Discernment is how you decipher your intuition. Whenever there's a decision to be made, for example, should I trust this person? Or what is the next step I should take in my career? Or should I end this relationship or keep investing in it? How do I parent in this moment? How can I support this person I love? We ask ourselves these big questions, and we usually get a gut feeling about it, right? Even if it's not the answer that we want to hear. But what happens next is the thing that we rarely discuss, but Ignatius addresses it head on. There's a split second after we get an intuitive hit, where we have an emotional response to the intuitive guidance. And it's often the emotional response that influences our decision of how to move forward, rather than the intuition itself. And this can have devastating consequences, because we can talk ourselves out of following our intuition so easily. So this is the moment you need to apply discernment, because discernment is the ability to recognize the difference between your intuitive intelligence and whatever else might get in the way, be it fear, self-sabotage, the voice of the ego. There are a myriad of ways that we talk ourselves out of listening to our intuition. Intuition is the ability to understand something immediately, based on feeling, without the need for a conscious reasoning. While discernment is the ability to maintain your integrity by aligning your thoughts and actions with your intuitive guidance. So they work hand in hand. I like to think about intuition and discernment as equal parts of the compass of your soul. Discernment is there to help you reveal what is hidden and to separate fear from intuition so that you can see the clear path ahead. Okay, so let's be more specific. When it comes to discernment, Ignatius lists 14 rules or guidelines that directly impact how well you can listen to and implement your intuitive guidance. Now, these aren't rules he reads in books. Ignatius discovered this wisdom for himself. He had a very hard life, especially at the beginning, and when he went into that cave to meditate, he went into this inner battle with himself, fear versus intuition. Because he lived these rules himself, they're practical, they're applicable to life, and this is why I find them so helpful. I'd like to share one of the 14 guidelines with you. This one is called touching the holy or spiritual consolation. To best describe spiritual consolation, I'd like to read a passage from the journal of Raissa Maritain, who was the wife of the French poet and philosopher Jacques Maritain. When she and Jacques were students, neither of them were spiritual people. Their professors were teaching them that the world has no intrinsic meaning, that life is absurd, and the typical nihilistic philosophies of the turn of the century. Well, one day the two lovers were walking in one of the gardens of Paris, and they decided to take their professors seriously. If life has no meaning, they would not live it. They gave truth with a capital T 1 year to reveal itself to them and resolved that if they could not find truth within a year, they would take their lives together. In the course of that year, a series of bizarre synchronicities and deep spiritual revelations came to them. And for the first time, the lovers learned that it's possible to find real, objective truth, beauty, and goodness in the world. At this point, Raissa has developed a deep prayer life, and after her death, her husband Jacques published her journal, which is why we have it. And this passage is about one day where she goes to church in the morning and winds up spending 3 hours sitting silently in the cathedral. She wants to pray the Litany of the Sacred Heart, but she's stopped by a force of love. I'll let Raissa describe it in her own words. At the first invocation, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, I paused, obliged to absorb myself. My mind arrested on the divine nature of love. Suddenly, I had a keen sense of love's nearness, tenderness, of the incomprehensible compassion which impels God to demand our attention, our love, our thoughts. Greatly moved, I wept very sweet tears. The joy of being able to feel God so kind and so close to me. Raissa's experience is what it means to touch the holy. And I'm sure you've had experiences like this, where your heart overflows with simple joy. You feel light and free. Your eyes might fill with tears. Pure thankfulness for the beautiful mystery of being alive. Moments that touch the holy are strengthening, nurturing, and filled with hope and energy for the future. What does this all have to do with intuition? Well, experiences like this put you on the wavelength that you need to be on to hear your intuition, to fuel your creativity, health, vitality, synchronicity, connection, purpose. Here's another story. You know the saying, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. It was first uttered by Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a student of the mystical teachings of Saint Ignatius. It was the 1930s, and Pierre was on a paleontology assignment in China. Early one morning, he decides to climb a mountain at the crack of dawn. He arrives at the top in the darkness, huffing and puffing. Just in time, he sees the honey-warm sunlight sparkle over the horizon. Wow! Pierre is startled by the beauty of how the light spills over the hills and migrates across the valley below him, illuminating the fields and saturating them in yellow hues. He watches the sunlight slide along the landscape towards him. As he watches, it seems to him that God is unveiling a great masterpiece, and that the beauty of spirit is taking form in nature. The light glides closer and closer until it reaches Pierre and kisses his face. And in that moment, Pierre feels his whole physical being embraced by the divine. He feels an unprecedented harmony between his body and soul. Awestruck, Pierre realizes how basking in the morning light turns a light on within him, and it becomes clear to him that the outer landscape, the mountain, the valley, the singing morning birds, and his inner landscape of his soul, they are mirrors for one another. And he concludes the famous line that rings true for so many of us today. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. This is what it means to touch the holy in the most ordinary event, a sunrise. For me, I tend to feel this spiritual consolation when I'm guiding pilgrims to sacred places around the world. And I'm privileged to witness the spiritual sparks just flying, watching people scribble fiercely in their journals after having a mystical lesson that inspired an aha moment for them. I feel this fire burning within me whenever I'm helping people leverage the laws of the universe to make their dreams real. It takes me out of myself. And it places my entire focus on service. And when I'm focusing on community and helping others get in touch with what's most important to them, I feel the presence of God filling my heart. And I also notice how it wells up from within my students. And that shared fascination of the divine is the catalyst that draws us together. It's just magical. What about you? What brings you spiritual consolation? What's your sunrise on the mountaintop experience? What lifts you up out of yourself and connects you with the deeper meaning of your life? Knowing the answer to these questions, knowing the answer to what helps me touch the holy, is so powerful because it naturally moves you in the direction of your intuitive guidance. Because this state of spiritual consolation, where you feel God near, it makes you permeable to intuitive messages. And you'll find yourself taking on the thoughts, the feelings, sensations that you would normally have if you were already acting on your intuition. So when you have these touch the holy moments, it means you are already in an optimal state of spiritual receptivity, and the ideas, inspiration, and actions that follow naturally align with your intuition, because that's where your intuition is pointing you in the first place, to this state of beingness and to everything that comes out of it. And here's the best part. The fears or resistances that might normally stop you in your tracks when your intuition nudges, those fears cease to exist because you're elevated to a level where fear has no power over you. Fear and spiritual consolation cannot coexist. Fear is a funny thing. It might be as old as life on earth. It's so fundamental. It's so deeply wired in our reactions. It's evolved over a long history of biology, and it's meant to protect you against perceived threats to your existence. Fear triggers a part of the brain called the amygdala, and it activates your motor functions for fight or flight. Your intuition, on the other hand, functions on a completely different level. An experience of touch the holy or spiritual consolation will activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which is literally the opposite of fight or flight. The parasympathetic nervous system is nicknamed rest and digest because it relaxes you. It supports the life-sustaining processes within you, like hormonal regulation and sleep and your heart rate. And because we have these two totally different functions between fear and intuition, it's critical for you to understand how your physical biology relates to your spiritual anatomy. As Teilhard says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So create the conditions that cultivate an environment where you feel embraced by the divine. Because only then will your body feel safe enough to allow itself to trust your intuition. Touch the holy, and you'll bolster your ability to discern the internal battle between fear and intuition in real time. Let's be clear about something. Spiritual consolation is not the same as simply feeling good. To understand the difference, you have to notice the direction of your attention when you have a sacred experience. The feel-good factor is intrinsically focused on yourself, while a genuine spiritual consolation focuses on God. It's when your heart and your mind are drawn out of yourself. This can happen even in the most chaotic circumstances that you'd normally regard as negative. As an example, let's say there's a woman walking down a corridor in the hospital, her heart heavy from a doctor's appointment. She sees a serene painting of a beach on the wall, and for an unknown reason, her heart lifts up, knowing that God is with her. And just the beginning of a tear comes to her eye. It's a beautiful experience of touching the holy. And in the warmth of her soul, the woman knows that the love of God is with her, no matter what the outcome of those doctor's tests. And all her tension melts away. In this example, it's not a typical feel-good moment, but clearly there is spiritual consolation. To touch the holy is a signal that our hearts, at least for that one moment, are beating in harmony with the heart of God. Like Teilhard de Chardin being kissed by the sunrise on the mountaintop. Consolation is the experience of this deep connectedness to God, and it fills our being with a sense of peace and joy. The epicenter of this experience lies in the divine and not within ourselves. And because of that, you cannot be afraid when you know you are protected no matter what. You cannot be afraid when you're in this safe embrace, God's embrace, and you can use your discernment to define what it is your intuition is asking of you in this moment when you are most clear. Just like Ignatius, when he was bedridden and recovering from surgery, you too can give yourself that spaciousness to define what it is that you want and to get real about where you are now. Intuition and discernment are innate spiritual gifts meant to guide you to becoming the person who you were born to be, the person you're growing into already. Your job is to simply align yourself, your mind, your heart, your words, your actions, become a congruent human being. Discernment also means that you ask yourself hard questions about your environment and your habits. What supports your spiritual growth and what diminishes it? Consider what type of environment is being created by how you organize your home, where you go to socialize, how different environments affect you. Consider what you put out into the world. How do you communicate with your loved ones? What type of music do you listen to? What news channels do you watch? Discern your fitness schedule, your screen time habits, how much water you drink in a day. Now, you don't have to be a perfectionist. You don't even have to change anything if you don't want to. It's just about being aware that if you are habitually immersing yourself in stress, in anxiety, in negativity, of course it will impact your ability to touch the holy and to be receptive to spiritual consolation, which in turn has a direct impact on whether you can hear your intuition. Discernment is the foundation of understanding what your intuition is telling you, and it creates the stability in the divine that you need to take those risks in life. So it's important to remember that discernment and intuition are not reserved for spiritually gifted people. It's not a supernatural phenomena. It's a part of your innate energetic circuitry. But of course, it's impossible to follow your intuition when you don't practice discernment in equal measure. And that's why some people think it doesn't come to them naturally. It's just that they don't have the skill set. They don't practice discernment. When it comes down to it, you already know what it is that you need to do in order to create an environment that will support you to make those bold choices your inner guidance is urging you to make. I think most of us underestimate how vulnerable we are to our environment. That's why we don't give ourselves the proper care, and then we wonder why we can't hear our intuition. Start with discernment. It will help you close the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. And slowly, you'll make the shifts that will nudge you in the right direction. And then you can easily act on your wilder intuitive guidance, making breakthrough choices beyond what's predictable, choices that totally free you into a whole new quality of life and forge a stronger relationship with God. Not only does discernment line you up with major life decisions like who to marry and which house to buy, but it also impacts mundane decisions that are seemingly irrelevant, like where to go for lunch. But if you're in tune with your discernment, you will find yourself led to divine appointments and intuition more often. And what I mean by that is that you just so happen to be in the right place at the right time. You missed that bus, which happened to crash that day. You were off sick the day something serious happened at work. Or you took a wrong turn and you walked right into someone who you were meant to meet so you could provide them with encouragement, or they blessed you in some way. There are all kinds of stories about people who were led to go to such and such a place at such and such a time, and they met somebody who they will later recognize as being a divine appointment. I'm so amazed by the forces in this world that are beyond our understanding. And the fact is, there are powers within us that we have yet to harness or even acknowledge how powerful we are. Again, it reminds me of Teilhard de Chardin. He says, "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then, for a second time in the history of the world, humankind will have discovered fire." My friend, it's an honor to be here with you today. You have no idea how much it means to me to connect with you soul to soul. In closing, I'd like to share a poem with you by Mary Oliver. But before I do, I just want to remind you that if you want to walk the Camino with us this summer or in 2024, please email me, nina@dancingspirittours.com, and I'd be happy to send you a free trip guide with the detailed daily schedule and our spiritual curriculum outline. The Camino experience has proven to be our most popular pilgrimage yet. We only have a couple spots left this May and this June, and we only have 3 rooms left in 2024. So if you want a truly profound Camino experience that marries the inner pilgrimage with the outer journey, email me and request a free trip guide. Okay, here's our closing poem by Mary Oliver. I chose this one because it reminds me that intuition prompts us to pay attention, while discernment helps us tune in and navigate guidance. Both intuition and discernment are innate powers. You're born with the capacity to strengthen these spiritual muscles. My friend, if you take one thing away from today's episode, let it be this: relish in experiences that touch the holy. Use discernment to cultivate an environment that truly nourishes your well-being, and you will find yourself effortlessly following your intuition and living your most beautiful life. This is Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. My friend, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time on the Holy Rebels podcast.